Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Far From the Tree Parents. Children and the Search for Identity is a non-fiction work by Andrew Solomon that examines how families respond when children grow up profoundly unlike their parents. Published in 2012, the book combines journalism, memoir, psychology, and cultural analysis to explore disability, identity, and belonging across a wide range of experiences. Solomon looks at conditions and identities such as deafness, dwarfism, Down syndrome, autism, schizophrenia, prodigious talent, transgender identity, children conceived in rape, and juvenile crime. The book is centered on a difficult but universal question: how should parents balance acceptance of a child as they are with the urge to help them adapt, change, or thrive in the wider world? Rather than offering simple answers, Solomon presents families navigating love, grief, pride, fear, and social stigma. Its purpose is both descriptive and ethical, asking readers to reconsider what difference means inside a family and what support really looks like when identity does not follow inherited expectations. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, horizontal identity as the book's central framework for understanding difference. One of Solomon's most important ideas is the distinction between vertical and horizontal identity. Vertical identity refers to traits passed from parent to child through family lineage, while horizontal identity describes traits that arise within a child without being inherited in the usual family sense. This framework helps explain why parents often struggle when a child is deaf, autistic, transgender, or otherwise unlike them in ways that cannot be reduced to resemblance or inheritance. The concept matters because it shifts the discussion away from defect and toward identity formation. Solomon does not present horizontal identity as merely a medical category. He shows that it can shape community, culture, and self-understanding. At the same time, he does not deny that many of these differences involve real hardship. The value of the framework is that it allows both truths to coexist. A condition can be experienced as a challenge and still become a meaningful part of who someone is. This is one reason the book feels analytical rather than purely sentimental. Secondly, how parents decide between normalization, treatment, and acceptance. A recurring concern in the book is the tension between trying to normalize a child and choosing to accept the child's difference. Solomon shows that this is rarely a clean moral choice. Parents of children who are deaf, dwarf, autistic, or transgender often confront practical decisions about medicine, education, language, and community. For example, interventions can improve communication or reduce risk, but they may also feel like attempts to erase identity. Solomon's strength lies in showing that both motives can coexist in the same family. Many parents want to protect their children from hardship, while also avoiding the implication that the child must be fixed before being loved. The book does not argue that acceptance means refusing support, nor that treatment automatically equals oppression. Instead, it presents parenting as a negotiation between dignity and adaptation. This makes the work especially useful for readers who want a nuanced account of disability and identity politics. Solomon treats parental conflict as ethically serious because the choices made in childhood often affect language, culture, self-image, and a child's future relationship to society. Thirdly, a wide-ranging portrait of families across disability, identity, and social conflict, the book stands out for its ambitious range. Rather than focusing on a single condition, Solomon organizes the book around multiple chapters that each examine a different form of difference. He writes about deafness, dwarfism, Down syndrome, autism, schizophrenia, severe disabilities, transgender children, prodigies, children conceived in rape, and children who commit crimes. This structure allows him to compare cases that are often discussed separately and to show that family responses often follow similar emotional patterns, even when the conditions differ. The broad scope also prevents the book from becoming a narrow argument about one community. Instead, it becomes a comparative study of how families make meaning under pressure. The diversity of examples is important because it reveals that public assumptions are often too simple. Some differences are celebrated. Some are medicalized, some are stigmatized, and some are treated as moral failure. By moving across many kinds of lives, he builds a more complete picture of how identity is negotiated in real families rather than in abstract theory. Fourthly, the book's empathy comes from reported narratives rather than detached theory. Far From the Tree is not mainly a theoretical book, even though it uses strong ideas. Its force comes from Solomon's reported encounters with families and individuals, which give the book emotional and moral weight. He blends interviews, personal reflection, and social commentary to create a style that is both investigative and humane. This method matters because the subject could easily become abstract or clinical. Instead, the reader sees how decisions about diagnosis, schooling, community belonging, and public stigma affect ordinary life. The narrative form also helps Solomon avoid reducing people to categories. Each family story complicates the next, showing that people do not simply accept or reject difference in the same way. Some find strength in a community identity, while others face isolation, exhaustion, or grief. The book's empathy is therefore earned through accumulation rather than through persuasion alone. Solomon does not ask readers to feel a certain way by force. He gives enough context for them to understand why families respond as they do. That balance of detail and restraint is one reason the book has been so widely respected. Lastly, its strongest argument is that difference is universal, but support must be structural, although the book is built from extraordinary cases. Its larger argument is that difference is not exceptional at all. Everyone belongs to some family system that must handle mismatched expectations, vulnerability, disappointment, and change. Solomon uses this insight to widen the meaning of the book beyond disability studies or family memoir. He suggests that identity is always negotiated within social institutions, not just inside private homes. That leads to one of the book's most practical implications. Love alone is not enough. Families need schools, healthcare, communities, and policies that continue support as children grow older. This is especially important in the book's discussion of adulthood, where the protective structures of childhood often weaken. The result is a serious social critique hidden inside a family study. Solomon shows that many struggles labeled personal are actually structural, shaped by access, stigma, and social expectations. This makes the book valuable for educators, clinicians, parents, and readers interested in policy as well as ethics. Its durability comes from combining intimate human stories with a broader challenge to how society defines normal development and worthy care. In conclusion, Far From the Tree is best suited for readers interested in family dynamics, disability studies, identity formation, education, psychology, and social ethics. It is especially valuable for parents, caregivers, teachers, counselors, and anyone who wants a more careful understanding of what it means to raise or support a child whose experience does not mirror the family's expectations. The book offers practical benefits in the form of perspective. It helps readers think more precisely about acceptance, intervention, stigma, and the limits of normalization. Its intellectual value is just as strong, because Solomon links individual stories to larger questions about culture, community, and the meaning of difference. What distinguishes it from many similar books is its scope. Instead of focusing on a single diagnosis or identity group, it compares many forms of difference within one rigorous framework, making connections that are often missed in narrower studies. It is also unusually balanced, compassionate without being simplistic, analytical without becoming cold. That combination has made it a landmark book in nonfiction about identity and family. If you would like to support Andrew Solomon, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.